Three.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable. Starring your hosts, Brett and Scott and
Zara Tangora.
Cheers, cheers, everybody. We are drinking.
Oh, that's a toast.
Now that's a toast.
Now that's not a toast. This is a toast.
Toast. That's no knife. Listen, we are drinking. It is the sunshine. We're in Cobble Hill in Brooklyn, and it's a perfect December day.
So glamorous.
The windows are open. The sunshine is glistening through those champagne glasses that have the, you know, like the bride and groom ones that have the champagne that goes all the way to the base, like
delicious.
In the stem. So when you put your fingers around it, bubbles. It heats up the champagne, and you get more bubbles.
It's amazing. These are very classy.
Honey, we are all about being class here at Life's a Banquet.
We might be down and out, but we do have champagne and we have each other.
My checking account might say -66.24 right now, but I am living the life of luxury.
And you look great. Breton walked in an outfit of so much plaid today. It took my breath away.
So much plaid. You know, it's December and I was feeling a little rougher on the edges. I will admit this, and I want everybody to know that I think I might have had a small hangover today. I had a bottomless glass of wine last night. You know, pay for one, drink 17.
Yes.
These are some of the fortunes that you have when you've worked in the restaurant industry forever in New York.
Yep.
And I definitely had my share.
What kind of wine were you drinking?
I forgot. It was Portuguese.
Exactly.
It was something Douro, Portuguese. I can't remember. And then we had an orange wine, and Preston had a lot of orange wine, and he said he felt a little sick this morning.
Well, yeah, I feel like sometimes the funk factor it just kind of lingers around in your brain space, which is the technical and clinical description
right.
for
Doctor,
that.
Doctor, the funk factor in the brain space is what's causing the cloudy factor of the hangover. So listen, I woke up at 8 a.m. today, which is very late for me. I had to have a lot of...
You have a fur hanging off your microphone.
Yes.
I must get it off. It's very distracting.
Yes.
Okay. So you woke up at 8 a.m.
A little bit of hangover, but I decided, you know, I was like, you know what? Let's combat this and let's, you know, bust it out. I went to the gym. I made a really... Last time I was in Huntington, I got a bunch of those bagels from Hot Country Bagel.
Ooh, Country Hot Bagels.
Country Hot Bagel. Okay. So there was this bagel shop. Everybody listen up. It's in Northport. Northport, which is near Huntington and out on Long Island.
Long Island.
I got it correct this time. Yes. Out on Long Island.
Exactly.
And you go and it's this like little hole in the wall, literally in the wall. There's holes of bagels everywhere. And it looks kind of assuming, but those bagels are
really good.
Well, I froze them. They didn't freeze as well as I thought.
No.
I think if you take a bagel out, different than a piece of bread or an English muffin or anything else, it pretty much, I freeze everything. Bagels, I think, need to have a little steam.
I was just going to say that you have to put a little bit of water in a pot with the bagel, steam it, and then toast it.
So you like steam it first?
You steam it and then toast it. How you reheat a bagel.
A bagel.
Or a bagel.
A bagel.
Or a fraggle.
Fraggle rock. Anyway, I made a little broccoli cheddar thing with like an everything bagel.
Yum.
Put some caper cream cheese on.
Oh my God.
Just a little spur of the moment.
I'm drooling. I realize that I am kind of disgusting. I drool every time we talk about food on this podcast. And when I re-listen to episodes, I'm like,
you could hear.
I'm like, ooh, Bretton, that sounds good. I'm like, I'm the disgusting pig who's just like drooling my life away.
Well, I went to the gym and I worked it out and I feel a lot better. And I decided to put on a fabulous outfit.
You look great.
And talk about food. And I will start this day by saying that I actually almost canceled today because I had a devastating moment in the kitchen. It was a moment
You've been waiting to tell me this. We've been chatting for like 2 hours and you've been saving this story. What happened?
Okay. So what we're talking about today in today's episode, can I tell everybody?
Yeah, please.
We are talking about and follow up with last week's episode, which you check out. It's called Cookies.
Ever heard of them?
Ever heard of them? They're small. They fit on a sheet pan. You can pack them and put them in cute boxes and give them to friends. And this is butter. Today we are talking about butter.
Booter.
So I decided, you know, this last week I was going to live in butter, which I
and
kind
so
of
And so how
did.
Is that different than every other week of your life?
Well, this week I just paid more attention to I went beyond the layers of the flaky pastry. I went into the foyer-tine.
Okay.
You know, I went beyond the lamination and I just went behind the scenes and I was like, I want, you know, first of all, I have to make butter. So
did you make butter?
Well, this is my baking, my horrible failure moment.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't like to make mistakes, even though I do them every second of every day, and so basically I hate myself every day. Working on it.
Yeah, well, welcome to life.
So I put on some cute shoes, and I feel better.
Exactly.
Well, I get some cream, some nice, you know, expensive cream, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I culture it.
Yak cream or cow?
I decided to get cow cream this time. Well, I'll talk about yak cream in a second. And
I'm also going to talk. This whole podcast is going to turn out to be a yak cream.
So it's like late night. And I said, don't forget, you have to culture your butter overnight so I can make the butter or the cream. So I, you know, take it out, I leave it room temperature. Culture just means that you're inoculating the cream with the, you know, disease. Lactobacillus and streptococcus, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then it ferments and kind of makes like a creme fraiche or a yogurt kind of thing, right?
Right.
So you whip that the next day, and I decided it's like so easy, right? All you have to do to make butter is you put cream in your KitchenAid or whatever you have, and you, if you have a butter churner, you know, shake it up at a party in a mason jar, and you whip it until like the buttermilk actually leaks out, and it starts to turn into a solid mass, and then you knead it out in ice water, right? It couldn't be more simpler. I've done it before. This did not freaking work.
What happened?
It just kept whipping, and it never got past the whipped cream stage.
Really? So you just have some like sour streptococcus laden whipped cream?
It still tasted really good. And I thought, well, why don't I add some horseradish to this?
Oh, perfect.
Some salt. I'll make a really nice horseradish cream that maybe I can bring over tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be great on a latke. Right?
Just like as I don't want to throw it away. It was a lot. It was a full quart.
Absolutely. So here
I
was.
I wanted to impress Zara, come over with freshly churned butter, and I was going to get a nice baguette.
Oh, I was already impressed by your outfit.
Well, then that's enough.
And just
perfect.
Your body and face.
So here I am, and I was like, I went through it in my head. I was like, look at you, you phony. You're doing a podcast about butter, and you can't even make butter. That was the voice I heard.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can't even make butter, you failure. And I was like, no, but it's okay, it's a mistake. And it was like, it's not a mistake, you failure. You go to hell, you stupid. Anyway.
It's so funny, my voice.
What's your voice?
It's your voice. It's just your mean voice talking to me when I think that I failed, which again is also pretty much every day.
Well, I've heard that's an unreliable narrator. So I decided not to listen. I was like, listen, and I walked into Zara's and she offered me a glass of this bubbly, gorgeous
kava.
Nice kava.
Yeah, it's just like a natural brute kava.
Now here we are talking about butter.
And yeah, we are.
Zara, tell me about your week. Tell me about your week times.
My week actually didn't involve that much butter, and I'm going to confess something right now to all of you single ladies at home and gents. Oh. Something that I do.
Single ladies and
so,
butter.
Do you remember in like Sex and the City how Carrie had like her single behavior, and like, I stand in the kitchen and read Vogue magazines while eating crackers and jelly. And it's like, could you possibly do something less embarrassing as your single behavior? Like, eating crackers and jelly and reading a fucking Vogue magazine with your perfect body in like cute men's underwear is like not an embarrassing
single
behavior.
Well, this was being filmed for a television series.
I love Sex and the City, but give me a break.
So what did you...
So one of my real single behaviors is that I have weird eating habits, and you know, like I'm getting older and I worry all the time, like, oh, well, I do need to allocate for the calories from 8 to 10 cocktails that I have on a Wednesday for some reason.
For each cocktail's 30 minutes of running.
Exactly.
Aggressively.
So, you know, there are times when I'm less than good about eating regular meals. And one of my weird single behaviors that I do is take a whole brick of butter out of my fridge.
Here we
and
are.
Scrape like rice crackers on it and eat crackers and butter. But like from the fridge, sometimes nude, sometimes clothed, mostly alone, always alone.
Always alone. Well, if it
always
makes you...
crying.
Yeah, always crying. If it makes you feel any better, I do that often.
Okay, good. It does make me feel
late
better,
night.
Actually.
I went and I got some Caputo's bread, that sesame bread, and I toasted it warm, and I just dipped it in butter.
Oh, that sounds so good. But I haven't been eating a lot of butter lately because I'm trying to be better about my eating habits, which is
Zara
like...
baked some bitter butter, but her set of butter's bitter. Then she had a bit of butter. Now she's bitter butter. Well,
I haven't had any bitter butter. However, I have had a strange week. Okay. So this week is... Yesterday marked the 12-year anniversary of a horrible accident I was in where I was in a bus.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Flew off a cliff when I was 20...
It's the reason you're here today.
The reason that we're sitting here today when I was 24 years old, 23 years old.
Here it is. Here's the story.
I think everybody obviously has already Googled me and knows all about it. But I was in a bus accident. I was in, long story short, I was helping a friend who's a musician, my friend Mr. Liff. Love you, Jeff. And we were in a bus that flew off a cliff. It exploded, blah, 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 blah. I cut my hand open, yada, yada,
you
yada. Survived. I got money. I got to open a restaurant. And Brennan and I fell in friendship love. And here we are making a podcast. I eat butter out of the fridge. That's my OkCupid profile. Just kidding. I do not online date. No judge. So anyway, yesterday was a 12-year anniversary of it, and it always brings up all these feelings of like
many years.
It's so long, but like I'm a person who like attaches to like anniversaries of things, not like, oh my god, it's our anniversary of when we met, honey. How could you not remember? But you know, like poignant.
You'd like
dates.
To give remembrance. Yes.
I do, and I think about it, and then like so yesterday, I was just kind of thinking of all the stuff that's happened since, and I walked by Brucey, and like it's an Indian restaurant now, and I started crying, and I just could kind of see us in there.
I walked in there the other day.
You did?
I did.
What
it
was it
feels
like?
Funny.
I bet.
And I just opened the door and then walked out.
Was it like the Indian bizarro world? Like everyone was like us except Indian?
Yeah.
And there was like an Indian Breton and like a crazed Indian woman in the kitchen with like just wearing a bra cooking like a fucking asshole.
I won't do my Indian accent.
Don't. But... Nope. Just imagine it. Just keep that in the vault.
Those things.
No, 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 no where you've gone, where you've been, talk about like highs and lows. I'm just like, I just kind of ran through like the moments of like great success. I'm not very nice to myself sometimes, like you were just saying. I had your voice in my head talking about all the times I failed. Yeah. It's like, and this you did bad. Remember that time you dropped spaghetti on someone's head?
You should have known it would turn into an Indian restaurant. I'm most serious now. Anyway, sorry.
Ganesh is just like fucking up
I'm
in my
back
face
now permanently. So my
so that was my week.
Wow.
And then yesterday, I also had either a ghost experience or someone broke into my house. Who knows? If you're my stalker out there and you're listening, please stop. I'm not interested. I can't have a stalker. I'm too nervous normally.
I like how you're saying this is your week, but I'm looking. Zara has a little chalkboard.
Oh, yeah. And I did have a dinner party on
Sunday. She had a little dinner party, and I'm looking at the menu because it's still there. And I just had a slice of the coconut Amaro olive oil cake with watermelon jam.
It was good. I had my cousin over, and
it was
savory
and it had crispy. It was yum.
Yeah, and Kira Bell. Yeah. Kira's our most loyal listener. Kira, we love you. Mm-hmm. She came over for dinner on Sunday, too, and it was fun. She brought her
dog. Kira, we can talk about that. How were the enchiladas, Kira, by the way? Oh, wow.
They were pretty good. I had them in the freezer. That was what the whole party revolved around. So I made enchiladas because I had a gorgeous ball of mozzarella cheese from Caputo's a while ago, and I didn't know what to do with it. I had a couple of leftover tortillas, and it was the end of the summer, and I had made really nice pico de gallo. And I was like, I'm not going to eat this pico de gallo or this mozzarella. Or these tortillas.
So you made them and
I put them in the freezer, and now I'm gearing up for like a massive catering week next week, and I'm like, I have to eat these enchiladas, and I'm harassing everyone in my life. Enchiladas this, enchiladas that.
Zara's Facebook post, gearing up for the weekend by eating.
I don't have Facebook, but I made one just to sell these fucking enchiladas. So anyway, we had a dinner party based around enchiladas, and I also made chickpea guacamole, cabbage salad, delicious brown jasmine
and
rice.
Squash tostadas.
I made squash tostadas. So a tostada, a crispy corn
of
tortilla.
Course, yes, they sound lovely.
Kombucha squash puree.
We love kombucha squash. This big fans over here.
Delicious condiment that I think I've told y'all about, which is the pickled ginger chilies, cilantro, and shallots.
I've heard about this. I tried it.
Really good. I put that
it's
on there.
It's like a mignonette with... It's kind of like a mignonette with ginger.
Like a ginger chili mignonette.
Yeah,
it's very good.
And it's really tasty.
And then cilantro. Shockingly. And chopped up roasted shiitake mushrooms on top.
Wow. You know what?
And yogurt.
This last week, I have been all about my walk.
Ooh.
Lots of walk use.
Walk on the dock.
I got a walk a couple months ago, and I love the walk. And it doesn't get as hot. It doesn't get as hot as I want to on my regular stove, but I decided that I'm going to make a lot of those kind of Thai curries, right?
Yes.
And I get the pre-made curry. I know I cheat because I don't feel like
that's okay.
Yeah.
I do too.
They're actually very good. It's from that company, Maisri, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I made squash curry. I made eggplant and squash curry.
Ooh.
I made it with the green curry. I made the bread curry. I do prefer the bread curry.
I do too.
Lots of coconut milk. It's actually so easy. And then I put, there's this very lovely Thai grocery store. And this woman last time, the woman, I don't know if she owns it or what, but she was behind the counter. And she said, oh, what are you making? You know, and I said, she was Thai. And I said, oh, I think I'm making this. She's like, oh, you have to use the, you have to get the kefir lime leaf.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't have $3 extra cash. And I said, oh, I'll get it next time. She's like, She goes, I just don't, I feel like if you're going to make that and it's not going to taste the same and it's not going to be very good.
She gave it to you for free?
And then she gave it to me. She's like, just take some.
Oh my God.
She's like, I just want you to make sure that you do it right.
That's
so
kind.
I did. I was so, I'm like, I just got free lime leaves. I was.
That's your life though. You are a free lime leaf.
And so I went back and got more the very next week. I was like, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
That's how she
Wait,
was like.
Where did you get them?
It's a Thai grocery store right around the corner from Noodle Village on that little street in
off
Chinatown.
Of Mott Street.
It's off of Mott Street. It's that little right around the corner. But
okay.
So anyway, it's a lovely little Thai grocery store. It's tiny and they
have
wonderful Thai chilies and like, you know, the fresh Thai basil.
That's awesome. Oh my God. Thai basil makes all the
and
difference.
It's so easy, folks. You cook some jasmine rice and I put the curry, the lime leaves in, the kefir lime leaves in the rice while I steamed it.
That's so smart.
Oh my God. Guys, it made such a difference.
Breton's such a good cook. He's the best cook I know of any
Even
restaurant.
Even though I don't give you so much of my, I don't cook for people. I'm afraid.
No.
Afraid sometimes.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't believe you.
Sometimes I'm really disorganized, so like I can't plan it. It just has to be
I think you're more spontaneous than afraid, because I think you know how good of a cook you are. And I've never known you to be afraid of anything, also.
Well.
Except for bees.
Don't talk about bees, even though I do love honey.
You know what I do want to talk about? We were just chatting about this, and then we're like, save it for the podcast.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, I'm having a Hanukkah party.
Oh, happy. It's the third.
On the third day of Hanukkah, my true love gave for me.
That is actually
anti-Semitic.
No,
Breton.
I am part Jewish. Everybody
Breton
knows
voted
this.
For Trump. You're part Jewish?
I don't know. I think so.
Okay. You seem Jewish.
They said that there might be some history of it.
You are very anxious.
Polish and German blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over in the 1920s.
Yeah.
So,
said your grandpa was a bagel fucker, didn't you? You did say that.
I didn't say anything
you
of the
did
sort.
Say your grandfather had sex with bagels in our bagel episode.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
No, I have to ask you a question before we start the bottom episode. I'm having a Hanukkah party tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm sorry I said that about your
Happy
grandpa.
Hanukkah. It
I
is
know,
also
may he rest
by
in
the
peace.
Way, Christians and Catholics, it is also after the Saturday was the first day of the Advent. For the Advent, you relight three purple candles and one pink candle for each week. Before Christmas, there's four of them.
Oh, wow.
So I went to church. I went to Mass on Saturday. And
you did?
Yeah, yeah. I left after
mass?
18 minutes. I got really bored.
It's terrible.
Well, it wasn't a very good church. It's in my neighborhood. The church is beautiful. And then I noticed the lights were too bright.
Yeah.
There was some magic missing. The woman that got up and read the first thing, she gets up and she had her hat on. And I just thought it was like, just take your hat off and the respect. I don't know. Call me old fashioned.
I will. You're old fashioned. Did you light on fire when you were in there?
I did. I dipped myself in holy water and I started to steam and burn. And that's where these scars on my face are from.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. The question is,
do you smell something burning?
Yeah, there's an electrical fire nearby.
You think so?
I
think maybe it's. Hang on one second. Talk to the guests. Let's not pause.
So,
say something.
So after that, I decided I had to go to Radical Herb Shop and do something radical and buy mustard seed because I have all these leftover pears and I wanted to make pear mostarda or like a pear chutney. And let me just tell you. Okay, there's no fire. We are safe.
There is a fire.
There's a small fire. Where is it?
In the plant.
And that's it. So they didn't have mustard seed, so I have to go today and get mustard seed. So there's some pears. I've got a lot of projects going on.
Yeah.
Got a lot of unfinished projects, and that butter really, like, brought me down, but I'm going to...
Don't worry about it. I just went and put out a small fire. I had stuck an incense in one of my plants.
Yeah.
And it
there
started
was, there
to burn.
Was a small fire.
So my question that I want to ask you about Hanukkah. So we started talking about...
Wait, one more thing.
And I brought Adderall for us. Let's take it now.
Yeah. I didn't tell you.
So I'm having a Hanukkah party tomorrow and I'm making latkes and I've been reading a lot about latkes. Of course, I've made them many times in my life, sometimes very successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. People always say you need to use russet potatoes. I disagree. I think russet potatoes, of course, are amazing. I also like a Yukon Gold potato.
Yep.
I find that the biggest thing about making latkes is the shape of the grate. If you get a really fine grate, you do it on a box grater, they become mushy and weird. I think you need to grate them with a Cuisinart. They should be like maybe a quarter of the size of a shoestring fry.
You know what I used when I would make pom roasty, which is similar.
Very similar.
Similar, but not the same.
Quite similar.
I would use that fun Japanese, or my mandolin, and the finest grate, and I would just grate it really finely so it was more like a very fine julienne, and I liked that texture better. Otherwise, it gets gummy.
It's gummy. Grating is not for me. However, I do think you can use a Yukon Gold potato. My question that I was going to ask you is that I just mentioned to Breton before the podcast began.
After all this, I hope I can answer it.
Is that I want to put sauerkraut in my latkes. Mm-hmm. I think it will add a really fun thing.
Just make sure to dry it. I mean, you're
going to dry it crazy. But my concern was that I wouldn't get the same crunch on the outside, and that when you cut into it, one of the great things about a latke,
I just figured it out,
is that you cut into it and it's a crunchy outside, immediately. I'm worried it'll be too stringy on the inside.
Okay. Here's my first thought.
Please.
You should send some with me. I have that food dehydrator. We should dehydrate it.
Oh my God.
We should dehydrate it overnight.
Smart.
And then we could fry it separately. And then you could add a cabbage. You could add a
fried dehydrated sauerkraut.
Yeah. I knew this would be up your alley. That's very, oh, look, she's drooling.
Oh my. That's, I'm also drunk. That sounds amazing. Yeah, okay. Let's do that. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Seriously, I can dehydrate anything.
I believe
persimmons,
you.
Apples, pears, you got it.
And also, I was going to serve my latkes, I think, with tahini instead of yogurt or sour cream.
And that sounds great.
With tahini.
I wonder if you know what would be kind of fun?
A pear sauce?
A pear sauce instead of an apple sauce.
Yes, pear sauce and tahini. I'll make some pear sauce too.
So many pears right now.
Why don't you make some pear sauce then?
I have pear. You know what? That's a good idea. What about the pear chutney? Okay.
Oh my God, pear chutney.
Here we go.
Tahini on latkes? Oh, guys.
All right. We're getting a little carried away.
Let's give you my address. You guys can all come over. So let's get back to the butter.
Back to the basics here. So listen. So I lived a week in butter. Now, I did a little bit of shopping about the history of butter.
So excited.
And there is, people use butter. People in different countries use butter in different ways. And we sort of think like, oh, what happened like with butter? And I read some records. I have a book, and it said that the Scandinavians were crucial in spreading butter across the rest of Europe.
Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly.
Spreading butter.
Across Europe.
Okay.
Ba-da-ba-ch.
That makes sense, Scandinavians.
And then, of course, you know, we always think about, like, Irish butter, and whenever I think of butter right now, there's all kinds of things that come up. First of all, it's holidays, so pretty much everything we eat right now will be slathered or made with or composed of or bound together by butter.
Yeah, butter is everywhere.
Now, what is butter?
Is it more than just an anal lubricant?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
what else can you do with
it? The Romans and the Greeks used to use butter as a skin salve.
I read that.
And they weren't necessarily eating or cooking with it back then. As you know, the country of India, which great country, love that country.
Yeah.
Lots of really wonderful things there. They would use buffalo milk butter or yak butter.
Mm.
And then they would also make ghee with it. So that was historically reused. Clarified butter, exactly. Ghee, clarified butter. And then, of course, you know, when we think of butter, the one country that always comes to mind is France, right? France, everything's...
Oui.
Of course. And I think Julia Child really helped to revitalize the, you know,
totally.
The use of butter.
Like, let Americans know that, like, French food is cool and butter is cool.
No, exactly.
Cool.
I read something interesting that in the English Channel in Ireland, butter was so critical to the Irish economy that they actually had a butter exchange in the town of Cork, and it helped to regulate the trade. And there were barrels of ancient Irish butter. That, first of all, that just like ancient Irish butter.
Ugh.
That's definitely like a good cooking band name.
Absolutely. We are English ancient Irish butter.
They were buried in bogs. This is just like the
bog butter.
They're bog butter.
Mm-hmm.
Bog butter. And they were aged in the bogs, and you can find them in the Emerald Isle, which again,
I'm sorry, they're so still
many,
there?
I guess so. I'm sure they've been discovered.
What are we doing
here?
And
we're back.
We're back. We just went to the bogs.
And now across the Atlantic here in the United States, the history... the pilgrims used barrels of butter for their journey to, you know, in the Mayflower.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they brought it over, and...
Mayflower butter.
And actually, this is really interesting. At the turn of the 20th century, the approximate consumption of butter was 18 pounds of butter per capita. That's a stick and a half per person per week, which to me sounds...
Oh, that's low.
That's kind of low.
Absolutely.
Like, I buy Carrygold butter, and... I buy three at a time, and I was like, shoot, I should have bought six.
Well, just think about everything you eat butter in. I mean, I probably eat a stick and a half of butter plain a week.
Mm-hmm.
If it were socially acceptable, I would just eat butter plain, like cheese. It's what's the difference?
Yeah, what's
really?
The difference? So butter. Yeah. I mean, it's in our cookies. It's in our spreads, you know. Okay.
In our smoothies. Now it's in our coffee.
It's in our butter coffee. I have been consuming butter coffee.
Not surprised.
Now, butter coffee, a.k.a. bulletproof coffee, mm-hmm. was coined that term. You blend some butter with some MCT oil or some coconut oil, and it is...
Is it good?
I adore it, and I have the best workouts, and my joints feel better.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. 100%. My brother's addicted to it.
Do you put half and half in there, too?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. And the idea behind this bulletproof, we're not going to get into the nutrition part of this, because I just... Yeah. That's a whole different
world. Who cares?
World, but it's supposed to sort of delay the absorption of the caffeine, so it sort of gives you a longer buzz with less of a crash. I do feel that because the fat that you're consuming also coats your stomach,
right.
If that's like my unscientific way of saying mm-hmm. it, I feel like I have a less acidic stomach.
Amazing.
When I have it. So anyway.
Have you been shot at while drinking it and been able to deflect bullets? Yes or no?
No, but that was the whole political thing about, you know, bullets or butter.
Yeah.
Right? Or...
That definitely was butter.
Yeah, butter. 100%. That was a whole thing back in Nazi Germany about...
Really?
Yeah, bullets and butter. It was like an argument about whether a factory should make butter.
Oh.
Or, yeah. There's a political...
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things.
They should have made butter.
I mean, when we think of butter, there's croissants. There's brioche. I mean, basically the world cannot live without butter. And if you're vegan, there's vegan butter options. The Mediterranean's...
Ghee is vegan, isn't it?
Ghee is, yeah, because you're separating out the milk solids.
Yeah,
but if you're a true vegan, you probably wouldn't eat ghee. I don't know.
Fuck you. If you're a true vegan, just kidding. We love you
all.
So,
basically, the world of butter is exciting as heck. And you can make butter from other types of milk. I thought about goat butter.
Mm-hmm.
And we already talked about yak and buffalo milk butter. You can buy butter from Parma, where they make the Parmesan cheese from in Italy.
Did I ever tell you I stayed on a Parmesan cheese farm on Agriturismo, which is a farmhouse that has like an inn, when I was the first time I was in Parma, and we stayed on a Parmesan cheese farm, and in the morning they served us fresh biscuits with the butter from the Parma cows.
Wow, that sounds
divine.
Wonderful. And of course the biscuits were probably also made with tons of that butter.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Certain celebrities are making now, like, actress, like, breast milk butter.
Excuse me?
I'm just kidding. They're not. But wouldn't that be funny if they were?
Yes.
Like, if Demi Moore was like,
yeah.
My new line. I don't know why I said Demi Moore.
Well, yes. That would be a little bit interesting because she's, like, over 100 years old. So it would be...
Let's pick somebody. How about Taylor Swift? She seems...
Taylor Swift, holler at us with your titty butter. We want
Taylor
it.
Taylor Swift, I feel like everybody would definitely try her
Tay-Tay's
butter.
Titty butter?
Tay-tay.
Let's get this going. Taylor Swift, if you're listening, please contact us.
Now, butter to me is very special because my name is Breton, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the region in France, mm-hmm. Brittany, which is known for its fabulous, really salty butter.
Mm.
Brittany butter. And Brittany butter queers. Brittany queers Breton butter. So I had my Instagram name is Breton Butter, right? Bread and butter. Because when I was a kid, people would say Breton.
Mm-hmm.
Breton butter.
Very clever.
Right? Very clever. I decided to stick with it. It's an ongoing cooking show that I'll release in the year 2029. I just feel like
a geriatric cooking show.
It's going to be a huge hit. And Breton butter.
It is.
Breton butter is one of the best things ever.
Favorite food of all time.
Now, this makes me think of that, the Queen Amon. Queen Amon is that French.
I have to lie down.
Cake. She's got to lie down. She's
I love
drooling.
Queen Amon.
So Queen Amon is actually there's the dialect in northern France. Queen Amon is the words for butter and cake.
Oh.
So that it actually means like a butter cake, or it kind of means bread and butter.
Okay.
Bread.
It's yeah.
Like a kind of a cake or bread. So that's really interesting.
Well, can you describe what a Queen Amon is? It's almost like a big croissant, but
so,
kind of a cake.
Yeah.
It's a laminated dough, right?
A Queen Amon spelled with a K. And an A.
It's like K-O-U-I-G-N.
G-N, correct, yes.
Yeah.
And A-M-N-A-N-N. And it is basically a laminated type of pastry. And whenever you hear the word laminated, for those of you that aren't pro bakers or just study the art of baking, laminated means that you take a flour kind of mixed dough base, and then you actually take a solid block of butter that's shaped similarly to the dough, and you fold it in. And you take this block of butter and you roll the dough around it, and then you smooth it, and then the butter becomes integrated into the layers of the glutinous pastry, forming those glorious crunchy 14 layers of dough that we crunch into, and that's what's so pleasing to us.
Yeah, about like a croissant.
About a croissant.
Yeah, or
that's a laminate.
Danish dough?
A Danish dough is laminated. And then, of course, the Queen Amon is a giant kind of laminated pastry dough. It's yeasted.
You had a Queen Amon, otherworldly Queen Amon experience in Montreal, no?
So I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I may have. But if you're just tuning into the podcast, click, subscribe, rate, review. 5 stars is fine with me.
Can
Thank you very much.
Champagne?
I would love some. In Montreal, the wonderful city in Quebec, in Canada, where you can now smoke weed in the beauty of the public and buy it freely, like all we all should.
Amazing.
There is a pastry shop there called Queen Amon. And it is divine. They sell just a few things, and one of them is these large, they're about 12-inch diameter circle, like cakes, and you get almost like a pizza slice of it, and it kind of looks similar to a stuffed pizza, but it's, of course, you know, like lamb. There's like, it's like a little fluffy and rolled inside, and you, it seems unassuming, and you go and you bite around the outside, and this thing is slathered in butter and sugar and baked, so it's slightly caramelized. There's texture. There's butter, there's soft, like, texturally, it's one of the most heavenly things that I've put my mouth around.
Ooh.
And I...
And you've put your mouth around a lot of heavenly things, haven't you? Same thing.
Heavenly bodies.
I really like the Queen Amon that they do at Bonfilio Bakery, which is my favorite bakery that I've ever been to in the States.
It used to be in Hudson,
New
York.
Now it's in Athens, New York.
In Athens, New York, which is still considered upstate
New York.
Right across
the river.
Wonderful bakery if you're ever touring around Hudson Valley.
I think that
they're only open like one day a week, so just make sure.
No. Now they're open more days a week.
They used to be closed.
Go anytime. Check the internet for local times. At Siri, when is Bonfilio open?
Instagram.
Hello. Hey, Zara.
Sorry, who's that?
They're great. Their laminated dough products, their croissants, and their Queen Amon are the best that I've had anywhere domestically, for sure.
Now, in addition to the history of butter, we must also talk about its horrible and arch nemesis known as margarine.
Yeah!
If you're using margarine, press stop, throw your phone out the window, don't actually go into a long hibernation, write in your journal, I need you to spend at least 3 weeks of why you think margarine is better than butter.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about, like, people that use a shortening in their butter crust don't, I just can't. I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, please bring it on. Also, Fabio, if you're listening, please come at us with your explanation of why you love margarine so much. And also, please tell us about the experience when a seagull hit your face and broke your nose. Mm-hmm. We want to hear about
that
too.
We're still interested in that.
Assuming it has something to do with big butter sending those seagulls out to get you. But yeah, margarine is disgusting. No thanks.
Well, so they used to call something it was in the late 1800s, and a French chemist made a spread out of rendered beef fat that he flavored with milk called oleomargarine. Was simply supposed to last longer than it was sold as, you know, butter was expensive. I mean, it takes a lot of work. You know, when I made this butter, I spent probably $8 to $10 on my cream, which now is, well, hopefully going to turn into a nice condiment with horseradish cream. But, you know, something about real butter, though. When spread on butter.
Yeah, when you spread butter on butter.
Wait, sorry.
No, I always spread my butter on more butter.
Sorry. When you spread butter all over your body, and then you go inside, and then you put a blindfold on, and you call that guy from Craigslist. Oh, wait. Sorry. When you layer it in a pastry. Yeah.
But yeah, well, okay. So what I don't understand about margarine, though, is like, why was margarine even popular? Is it like less caloric than butter? What was the motivation behind, I can't believe it's not butter, other than seeing Fabio's abs?
People were fearing, number one, fat, and also cholesterol.
Does it have less fat?
Well, I guess that was supposed to have butter was to make you have high cholesterol.
Right.
Which, of course, we have learned that.
Don't you love America in the early 1990s when people are like, you know what? So much better to have random chemicals that no one's sure whether you should eat or not than cholesterol from natural grass-fed cow butter.
I mean, it said, I'm reading an article from actually a website called thebutterjournal.com, which is real.
Perfect.
Go ahead, love it. They have fabulous Dutch portraits from the 1600s about butter.
Ooh.
You know, in the 1980s and 1990s, you know, people were that was when you had the tub of crunchy crock, right?
Ugh.
Crock of
That terrible color of beige. Also, what? Where did that color of beige in the container even come from? Beige. Have you ever seen like... that color? Doesn't even exist anywhere else in nature.
No,
it's the color of pure depression.
Yeah, that was depression, and those were the '90s. Anyway,
I used to eat a lot of that shit.
I have spread it on a lot of things, mm-hmm. and that's why we have problems.
Yeah,
that's why you and I have. We have to go to therapists every week.
Absolutely. I talk about country crock in every therapy episode. God damn it. My life's a podcast. Okay.
So there's another one of my favorite things. And this it's called Gâteau Breton, which is it's a Breton cake.
Now,
this just happens to be because my name is Breton.
Yeah. You're not narcissistic. It's fine.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And perfect. This is simply a cake that has just a few ingredients. And that is butter, flour, sugar, and an egg. Of course, there's a little bit of baking powder in there.
Wow.
And then it's a flat, and they often like drag the tines of a fork across of it. It's made in a tart crust, so that's a really nice other
Ooh.
Buttery cake. I have a couple things that we'll talk about after your story.
Okay.
About things that you can make with butter. Because
okay.
the options are, folks,
they're
limitless.
Freaking limitless.
Zara, I want to hear.
Okay, so I have an interesting story today, and I have to give props. I don't do this often enough.
I love
My
props.
Research came from a book called Butter, A Rich History by Elaine Krushkova.
And love that she
also from Munchies did a great article by a guy named Matthew Zoras. So,
oh,
but she wrote this
you,
really
Matthew.
Cool book, and I read a lot of excerpts from it, and it's a really interesting book about butter.
Thank you for doing all the work while we make
yes.
all the fame off of
Thank
it.
Thank you. I spent a couple hours on the internet, and now I have a famous podcast about yeah. butter, about the Buttercast.
Have the Bugatti drawn up front, darling. Yeah,
and draw me a bath. Okay, so you already gave a bunch of history about butter, so I'm just going to talk about this woman who invented, did you ever see this? There was a movie called Butter that came out maybe like, I don't know, 8 to 10 years ago, and it was about butter sculpting competitions. Jennifer Garner was in it. It's pretty funny.
I've never seen
it. It's very odd. It's kind of like a dark comedy. I thought it was funny. And so yesterday when I was researching my topic, I'm like, what should I pick? And I decided to focus on butter sculpting.
Mm-hmm. Which and is, again, another very important part of...
It's an amazing... Now it's like this like fringe, but yet really cool cult kind of like following thing that happens largely in the middle of the country. And butter sculptures...
Where they have less to do.
Yeah, they're like, well, yes, the flail's already pout. Sorry.
They have less drugs and alcohol there.
We
well.
Have a lot of less... I just realized we have a lot of listeners in Georgia. No offense, Georgia, if you're... Georgia country.
I'm from the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
I'm from fucking Long Island, where Joey Buttafuoco is also from. So I definitely have no reason to insult anyone else.
You're basically Joey Buttafuoco's like fourth cousin.
Yeah. If I was in a movie, Joey Buttafuoco would play me.
Yeah.
So the woman who invented butter sculpting in America was this incredible artist. She, from a very early age, started making like, it's been said that she started making like, sculptures in the mud. Mm-hmm. She just was like a natural born artist. So she started doing like as a little kid.
Just wanted to create.
Mud sculpting, mm-hmm. sculpting with like random things around the house. And she's the first woman who's like known to sculpt butter. Her name was Caroline Shaw Brooks.
Caroline Shaw Brooks.
She was born in the late 1800s and she became dubbed eventually as the Butter Woman. Butter sculpting had its roots in the Renaissance and also in Tibetan Buddhism, where they would use none other than everyone's favorite yak butter mixed with flour and pigment and would make it into like intricate scenes and mandalas that they called tormas. But in 1867, Caroline created her first butter sculpture, and she did it because the farm that she had with her husband was failing and they needed to somehow make money. And at the time, people would like sell butter and women started making like more like they would do these like a relief kind of prints on the butter, like kind of like little cute like hotel
yeah,
butters
yeah,
like you were just talking about.
Oh, yeah,
they would
we'll
just
talk about
they would make
second.
Them like pretty like little florets and stuff like that. So she was like, I'm going to make a sculpture out of butter. I love making art. And this is a great medium. She like always said that she liked it better than clay because it didn't dry out and was more malleable.
Her butter so was better with
clay. Her butter was better
with
clay.
Butter.
So the farm was, the farm that she owned, the cotton crop failed. And so she needed a different income. So she made this butter sculpture and sold it and saved the farm. In 1873, she creates a bas relief portrait, which she donated to a church fair, and her husband safely transported it and realized that the way to transport it was using ice. So they like were the ones who kind of, I mean, it seems so obvious to us, but like they made this whole elaborate setup using ice to transport it. And like, that's how she could, it seems obvious, but I guess the thing about butter is that of course it's going to melt, and they lived in Arkansas. And so melty butter was kind of a serious problem for them.
Melty butter.
Yeah. So she kept making like all these like really amazing things. People were commissioning her to make like gorgeous things of like all these like old dignitaries, and she was getting really, really popular. So she ended up doing something for the World's Fair, and she was in the female tent, and they're like, oh, why don't you come into the regular tent? You know, you don't have to just be like with the females. And at the time, nobody believed her that she was really making these. So part of the kind of crazy story of this woman is that she was like this amazing artist, and yet everyone at the time in the late 1800s and early like turn of the century was like, oh, this couldn't possibly be your work. You're having a man do it for you, and you're that it's you. So at the World's Fair, she came out and did it openly so that everyone could see that she was actually doing the work herself. But it's pretty crazy. Because no, I mean, can you imagine just like no one believing you? You're like, just because you're a woman, like a woman couldn't possibly sculpt butter. And at the time, there was a lot of women who started to emerge on the feet. Like, it was mostly female. It was like all these women who were doing this work like in butter, and people weren't believing them. And they then called her a hack, Carolyn, because...
Carolyn, you butter hack.
They called her a butter hack because she didn't use clay. Like, why is she using butter? She's like, well, because I don't have a ton of money. So she saved up all her money for making these butter sculptures, eventually got to like afford making things in stone and clay, and went on to be like a famous, like wonderful artist.
That's really.
Yeah. Kept a gorgeous studio. She became a Republican socialite, moved to Washington, D.C. Then eventually moved to San Francisco, lived out her later years. She kept a gorgeous studio in St. Louis, and kind of people don't really know that much about like the like end of her life. She kind of just spent it as a recluse making art, but she's widely revered as not only a centennial butter sculptress, but also as a really prominent feminist pioneer and artist.
Very all from butter.
All from butter.
Because butter was, well, more available and just a better medium.
Yeah. And now there's like these state fairs that go on, people are sculpting butter things of like the most wildly elaborate things you ever seen. There was one that I saw that was like this giant cow that was a life-size cow with like a little boy standing in front of it, and every little muscle is detailed. I mean, these people are doing like really incredible sculptural work.
Wonderful.
Which as a medium today is certainly not as you don't see it as much in our society as you do other kinds of, you know what I mean? Like people aren't doing a lot of like,
I haven't heard a lot about butter sculpture.
Well, no, I just mean sculpture in general, right? Like at this
time.
Should we
get, instead of the ice luge, should we get a butter penis luge?
Oh my God.
There we go.
Is that the new thing?
Yeah, it's the new
thing.
A
butter luge?
A butter luge.
Please, if you're a butter sculptor out there, please holler at us.
Yeah, yeah.
But this kind of ties into our story
last
week.
We'll throw hot buttered rum.
Do you throw hot rum down and then it melts? And the butter comes into your mouth? No pun intended. That's a fucking party.
Yeah. We're going to talk about hot buttered rum in a second.
Fucking copyright. Brett and Zara, Life's Banquet, hot buttered cum.
You heard it here.
Rum.
You've heard about it here first.
So I thought this was, while it's not like a very lengthy story, I thought it was a cool story. I tried to pick something that wasn't too long because I know we had a lot to talk about
of
butter.
Of course, yeah. We haven't, at least this podcast is 4 hours long.
I know. I feel like we might need to make it a two-parter. But I did want to say, it reminded me of our story last week, and that like women in general still, but especially as you go back, it gets worse and worse, of just not being able to even be taken seriously. And it's like, I'm just doing my thing. I'm either a good cook, accept it. Yeah, I'm a good cook. I invented chocolate chip cookies because I have a brain.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a sculptor. Believe it or not, women can, you know?
Uh-huh.
So take that, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, that's right.
Put that in your butter.
Put that in your
ball.
Exactly. He is a butterball. So that is really interesting. Yeah. I didn't know a lot about butter sculpture. Mm-hmm. I did happen to pick up a book that was sitting up on top of my cookbook collection, which was about some little butter sculptures you could do.
Oh, really?
And I didn't experiment with it because I didn't have any money for butter.
Yeah.
Go figure.
you're like, well, I did eat it all, so there's nothing left to sculpt with.
I had to get
some
Crisco and put some yellow food coloring in it. It's butter, I swear. That's what they used to do. So, butter. Now,
butter.
Should we talk about some of our favorite things to do with butter?
Yes.
Besides the obvious.
This just reminds me of, like, do you ever see that episode of Seinfeld when Newman wanted to eat Kramer and he pictured him as a turkey because he was basting himself in butter in the hot tub, and then he's like, picture him as a turkey, and then he bit him and ate him. That's now, kind of what I'm picturing you as.
A couple really, first of all, I want to talk about the best butter that you can buy right now. I think right now my favorite butter
on the count
is
of three.
Kerrygold. Now, Kerrygold is an Irish butter. And
that's an Irish butter.
An Irish butter.
That's a Jamaican Irish butter.
They definitely are pretty much in every single Trader Joe's across the country. So you can, it's, you know, and I think when people say, oh, it seems a little expensive, it's not that much more expensive. And it is, if you're going to consume that much fat, please make it again. It's grass-fed, dairy, so they say. And it is delicious, and it has a chemical compound that occurs naturally in their cream because of the grass-fed cows.
CLA?
Well, yes, conjugated linoleic acid, which is, we talked about this, that's a naturally occurring compound that actually helps you fight, that helps you burn more fat with fat. Kind of ironic, right?
It's also,
so a movement in the ketogenic world and in the dietitian world is to actually have a lot of butter. That's why I drink the butter coffee.
Mm.
It turns out somehow magically you lose weight. Because your body uses fat as a fuel. Our brains are composed of fat, so our, you know, our brains need that fuel to make them function properly on all 8 cylinders. Or actually, I have 12. Most people have 8.
You have 4 extra cylinders? Did you get it from eating so much butter?
I did. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but let me tell you, when something goes wrong, it's real hard to fix. So, butter and Kerrygold's a really, really good one.
Yeah.
I'm from Wisconsin.
No.
Yes, I've said that before, say it again. And Land O'Lakes is there. I don't know what their dairy practices are. I'm sure it's not
sure
that great.
I'm sure they're amazing.
But they always kind of win competitions for, you know, having really nice butter for the price.
Really?
There's the situation, do I use unsalted butter or salted butter? Now, that is a preference, and you will hear different opinions from different famous chefs talking about what they prefer. I always use salted butter. Even in sweet things, I use salted butter, and that's just the way I am. Now,
yeah, I always use salted butter.
Now, here's
I don't like when I read recipes and they're like, don't use salted butter. I feel like it scares cooks away from just trusting their instincts. And also, I don't really think that salted butter makes anything that much more salty. That's my honest opinion.
That's a very true, honest opinion.
It's just like, spoken from really? And then you're like at home, you're like, oh, I don't have non-salted butter for my cookies. I need to run out. I wouldn't want to make it too salty. Oh, I'm making this like sauce, and if I had salted... I'm sorry. I've never tasted any butter that is so salty that it's going to have a negative effect on what you're cooking.
Exactly.
My opinion.
Now, one of my other favorite little kind of no-brainer things to keep in the fridge, especially around the holidays as we come up closer to like having guests over and dinner parties and holiday parties, is having, I guess what we would call it, like an infused butter. And
compound butter, if you will.
A compound butter. Infused butter, whatever you want to do, a flavored butter. Mm-hmm. So basically a flavored butter, compound butter. Compound just means kidding. You're compounding things together. Mm-hmm. In this case, some herbs. And there's the classic maitre d' hotel butter, right?
Put it on.
Remember back in the 60s when I wasn't born yet, 70s, 80s, you would get a steak and you would come out of the, you know, on a nice hot plate, maybe a sizzler platter. Sizzler platter. And it would get a pretty nice raw chunk of butter that was studded with parsley and perhaps some Worcestershire sauce.
Now you're drooling.
I am. Anyway, and I love maitre d' hotel butter, which is really simple to make. You take some delicious Kerrygold butter and you mix whatever you want into it.
Anything.
Chopped garlic, some shallots, some parsley, all three of those things, none of those things, some thyme, some rosemary, neither some thyme, maybe some sage. You know, you can... Black pepper, anchovies. You know, my classic go-to hotel butter is parsley, garlic, a tiny bit of shallot, an anchovy, and then lemon juice, and a little bit of lemon juice.
Ooh.
And that's it. And then you spoon it, you know, you get it to room temperature, you stir it around. I take mine, I spoon it out, I roll it into some parchment paper, and I roll it into like a nice little log. Butter log.
Yeah,
and
how thick is the log usually?
I like a nice girth. I like to make sure it fits into the palm of my hand.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, you put that back in the fridge, and then when you get a steak or a piece of chicken or some bread or a mushroom, like Yeah. You name it.
Or a scoop of ice cream.
Or your fingertips.
Or someone else's tips.
Yeah. Another tip. A cracker. And you put that compound butter and, you know, you can let that sit the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets better.
Yeah. That's a great tip. I love it.
Speaking of tips.
Speaking of tips.
So what's your tip on butter?
Well, put it in everything. I really like, aside from Kerrygold, talking about Trader Joe's, Trader Joe's makes its own brand of cultured butter that comes in kind of that half-pound brick.
It's the French. Yep, it's the French.
French cultured butter, and it's cents more than the Kerrygold butter, and I think it's really delicious.
Cents.
Not the smell. It costs only a few cents more.
A few cents more. Yeah. Yes, like the dollar sign.
Yes, the dollar sign, cent sign more. So I really like that butter. I mean, I have a tradition, a long-standing tradition of making wacky butters. So at Brucey, my former restaurant, we made our own very delicious sourdough, naturally fermented sourdough bread, which was incredible. And we always made a different flavored butter depending on the time of year.
You were all about.
Loved it. So like we would always serve crusty chunky bread. You could order a whole loaf, you could order whatever. It was delicious. It was always hot, piping hot from the oven, and we would serve all kinds of butter. So our most popular one, I think, was coffee butter, which is beyond simple to make. It's ground, very finely ground coffee, tiny pinch of cinnamon and butter, and tiny pinch of sugar. You can also omit the sugar altogether if you're using it in a savory way. Just a tiny pinch of sugar though.
And then you take whatever you have the next day for brunch, pancakes, waffle, corn. You did a fabulous cornmeal pancake.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter, whatever you do, blueberry,
anything,
and you put that coffee butter on it.
We also used to pick up pastas with it, so like, you know, all the pastas that we always pick up always have butter in them, and so if we would do something like a lamb ragu, we would pick it up with coffee butter, and it just gives that a little extra oomph. Love coffee butter. We also used to do a lot of miso butter, which is, again, very simple. Just miso. I think I mentioned last week on the podcast that we had a prep cook who randomly put bananas in the miso butter. Wasn't that mad at it. Wouldn't necessarily put it in my recipe.
Don't recommend it.
Don't recommend it. Don't hate it, but don't love it.
You know what? I didn't want to cook the other day. I wanted something really simple. Was trying to eat healthy. So I had a milkshake, a double order of fries, and a burger, and then I was still hungry. No, but I actually sauteed some broccoli, and then I put some miso butter in it.
Oh yeah,
I didn't mix. I just
banana or
separate.
No banana.
I skipped the plantain actually, and miso butter with broccoli.
Miso butter is great. We did squash butter, like anything you have. Like this
blue
is
cheese butter.
Here's the best thing to do, right? To have fun with butter.
I think
you have something in your fridge that has a very tiny little bit leftover of something, a little end of, like, let's say blue cheese, that's a great thing, or some roasted Brussels sprouts, maybe like some roasted squash, or like a random spice that you have in your cabinet and you want to make a fun butter, grab something, whip it into butter. I guarantee it's gonna be good no matter what it is.
Nice piece of bread or toast or something, or an English muffin, you spread that. I bet you'll love that.
Yeah. Just like anything.
Well, I was actually just talking about, because it is the holidays.
Yes.
We are heading up on, I wanted to tell everybody about a tradition in that a holiday called St. Nick's Day, which is on December 6th. So I don't know if we'll get this published before then, but if not, let's focus on next year, or perhaps today's the day.
We'll put it up before December 6th.
And St. Nick's Day is in Dutch tradition, Sinterklaas.
Sinterklaas. Evil Santa.
And there is a tradition where it's kind of the Dutch Christmas. And so basically he comes on a boat. There's like this whole thing. He was kind of a slave.
A boat?
It doesn't matter. But St. Nick's Day is a day that my family, it was also Germanic in tradition, we would celebrate it December 6th. It's kind of like stocking stuffers, kind of light gifts. Anyway, that made me think of on that day, or perhaps this week, serving some hot buttered rum. Now hot buttered rum is actually kind of one of those things where it is what it is. Like it is hot
rum with butter.
With butter, like it's not like, oh, it's that, you know, when you mix those two together, it kind of tastes like butter. Like,
yeah,
no,
that's
You're gonna take some butter, and then you're going to add some brown sugar to that, and then maybe a little bit of spice, maybe some nutmeg, maybe some cinnamon. You know, kind of up to you.
Eek.
And then some butter. And you're going to, of course, mix that on the stove and heat it up. And then you're going to serve hot buttered rum. So basically, that was the bulletproof coffee of cocktail bars that actually occurred a long time ago.
Yum. That's amazing. Should we make it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is it okay with Hanukkah stuff?
I'm bet Hanukkah Harry would love that.
Obviously. Hanukkah Harry is a big rum fan, yeah, from what I understand.
And I would assume that if I were doing...
Hanukkah Harry.
Yeah. If I were doing...
Oi! Ahoy! Hey. Oi, ahoy! It's me, Hanukkah Harry! Where's the rum butter?
Where's the rum butter? And if I were to do this rum butter these days... one bottle of champagne later. I would use my little Cuisinart stick, my blend stick.
Yeah, smart.
Because... I think it should be emulsified.
Yes.
I mean, I don't mind having that little ring of like fat that goes around your lips and then you kiss somebody.
Yeah, exactly. It proves that you're passionate.
And then you like push them down on the couch and make out with them.
I don't care that there's still rum and butter on my lips.
Your best friend's girlfriend and you take her and... Oh, wait.
Hey.
Sorry, it's a holiday party, right?
And we're back with the butter episode.
And then she starts screaming and Christmas is ruined and the
tree lights on fire.
Now, I wanted to talk to everybody if I'm not talking too much. May I? Judges?
It is your podcast.
Yeah. Judges?
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. I wanted to tell everybody about the holidays, and there can be a lot of feelings. We talked about this last week, and I thought about it, and so I was over a bridge. I was about to jump off, and I changed my mind.
Okay, good.
I didn't. I shouldn't joke about that, but what I was saying
it's hilarious.
Is that, like, we have
suicide
a choice,
is funny.
Right? Is that we... it's really funny.
Yeah.
Is that, no, that holidays can be really hard, and I think... And they are, like, sometimes I almost feel that I don't want to, I'm like, I'm going to have a fabulous holiday, and something creeps in.
Yeah.
That, like, memories, nostalgia, getting older, all kinds of things that could happen. And I simply told myself this holiday, I was like, you know what, those are perfectly normal feelings, and I'm just going to simply, my cure this year, which sounds really simple and probably kind of, I don't know, a little too simple, is to look at the stripes of the candy cane.
Aww.
And remember that, like, that is actually the, like, red and white stripes is, like, that's all you got to look at.
Oh, my God.
So I'll be, like, the therapist, like...
I'm like, Bretton, what are you doing again, staring at that candy cane?
And I, like actually turns out that I'm, like, in bed staring.
Must stare at candy. Hey, Bretton, no big deal, but you have been in your bed for about 7 days now staring at a candy cane.
So it turns out...
can I help
you? Are you depressed? Like, no, I'm really happy.
No, look at this candy cane. It's beautiful. I've named it Herbert.
Candy canes and everything.
Candy cane.
No, but
said
really,
everything's
I was
gonna be
walking
okay.
around. I was like, you know what? I can react to all this. But like, at the end of the day, the holidays are meant to be about celebrating what is in front of us, which is our friends and our family. Yeah. And to remember, like you said, you had your thing where you remembered a past tragedy that you had.
Yeah.
And of course, there's people that are no longer with us, loved ones. My grandpa, his birthday was on Christmas Eve, and we always made spaghetti and meatballs on Christmas Eve. With garlic butter,
garlic bread.
Garlic bread with lots of butter, right?
Yeah.
And when I think of Christmas, I think of garlic bread and spaghetti meatballs, which
that's
is kind
awesome.
Of not traditional American, but
it's awesome.
That's what I think of, and I'm, you know, he's no longer with us, but guess what I do every Christmas Eve? I still make my frickin'...
You do?
Oh, yeah.
That's
cute. I've done it for many years. I go to gym some in the morning, and then I have spaghetti meatballs at night.
That's so awesome. We go to Bomonti's every year, but we'll order
spaghetti meatballs
this year to think about your grandpa.
Holidays are coming up. By the time you listen to this, it'll be St. Nick's Day, and we'll be in full force with lots of butter and
Santa
candies.
Will be at your door. He will have Santa Claus and will have ridden his ghost boat to your door demanding money and gold.
Yeah.
That's what he does, right? The legend says.
Candy cane butter.
Candy cane butter. Wow, that actually does sound good. But like if you use peppermint oil and a little bit of sugar.
I used to do a chocolate cake roll with crushed candy canes.
Oh my God.
And
you're
peppermint oil.
A crazed person. That sounds delicious.
When I had more time.
Guys, Brenton is the best cook. I said this earlier this episode.
That.
Yeah, you should.
It's a lot of work to cook. You know what?
No shit. It's crazy. I love it though. Like I always will cook things and I'm like, what am I doing this for? You're wild. And then I was like, you like doing this. This is what you like to do. Like tomorrow I'm having a Hanukkah party and I'm like, why am I doing this? Does anyone even want to come? Why am I always cooking for everyone? Like, do people think I'm stupid because I'm cooking all the time? My negative Bretton's negative voice. Sorry, you're stupid for cooking all the time, you dumb, jerky, ugly...
Why
woman.
Would you even bring that horseradish failed butter sauce over to Czar's?
Exactly. Oh, ugh. But then I'm like, you love doing, like, this is a thing that I love to do, and it brings me joy to make things.
And, exactly. And hopefully if you're listening to this, yap through our stories about butter and crushed peppermint candies, is that you also love food and history, because for us, I think food is history, and it is about the, it's not just about the meal, you know, it's
of course
what happens around it.
Thinking about like the other people that have made these things, and just kind of in reference to what you were saying about the holidays and it being slightly sad, but also like joyful. I feel like what you're saying about your grandpa, it's so bittersweet, right? It's like you're carrying on in his footsteps, you're doing things, but you remember in a fond and sad way, probably being a kid and like having that for the first time. It's like so great that you had the memory, but it's also so like painful to know like that you're, so those times are past, and then how do you create your own traditions? And
you know, I think giving is something that we can do. I mean, obviously this holiday is kind of about giving, but really when like, make a box of cookies. Remember when I told you about the tins? I went thrift shopping in Long Island. And I found some old tins
for
a dollar a piece.
See?
One of them has like blazing candles on it.
Did you go to Island Thrift?
Yeah, I didn't find anything there.
Yeah, it can be tough.
But I liked it.
Where did you find the most stuff?
My Unique Thrift Stores.
Where's that?
My Unique Thrift Stores is a chain of thrift stores across New Jersey and Long Island.
Oh.
There
How
be
do
one.
I not know?
I'll tell you all about it. But I found some fabulous tins and I thought, you know, why don't I make some cookies? And well, I mean, it's kind of weird if I was on the train and some stranger was like, hey, you want my cookie?
Yeah.
I would assume it was either like
a poison cookie
or a mushroom cookie or a pot cookie.
Yeah.
You could make pot cookies and hand them out with like letting people know like, hey, this is an edible cookie. But yeah, I think just perhaps maybe a better thing is go to like your favorite bartender or a restaurant that you frequent and you see some of the staff. Or
a home. I'm sorry to cut you off, but like, or someone who doesn't have a home who maybe like lives, who's near your, like I have a guy who I know him cause he's always on the same spot. And like each week I buy him an apple and, some Chinese food cause whatever.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Right?
But you know, so maybe this year, if you have like your guy or your woman,
my guy in my corner, there's a guy in my corner and he likes a cocktail and he puts out a mug and I love to make cocktails.
That's awesome.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this new cocktail recipe.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, come buy it with a cocktail. I was like, hey, listen, the guy is so nice. He says, never ask for money. He says, good morning.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. And he has wonderful manners. And for whatever reason, he's decided to be outside.
Yeah.
And all I know is the guy probably wants a drink just like I do.
Sure. Share and a little joy of some kind.
Share the joy.
But also like just take good care of yourselves mentally. Mm-hmm. And as we've heard, eating a lot of butter can help that. And I guess I would like to ask you what your top three butter things are. Let's leave this broad, like your butter focus. So like a dish you can't have without, with where butter is kind of the central thing.
I'm going to start with my number one, which is a croissant. And I think I've mentioned this before, but it's the pretzel croissant from City Bakery Manhattan. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it today. This is not including the Queen Amon that I've already talked about from Montreal. Cause that's place is called Queen Amon. You can Google it. It's there. And then my next favorite thing that involves butter, I would probably just say, you know what? Brown butter.
Ugh.
Like a brown Delicious. Butter sage
Best.
Sauce is one
magic.
Because you need brown butter is where you actually take the butter and you saute it, bring it up in heat and it boils and then it the milk forms, gets caramelized basically.
Yeah.
And then makes the butter have a delicious flavor.
Delicious.
Wonderful, right?
Yes. What's number one?
And okay, so that's number one, number two, and then of course, I mean, I'd be a fool if I didn't say a Swiss meringue buttercream.
Ooh, that's so good.
Swiss meringue buttercream is great to have around the holidays, around the cake, because around the cake, around your fingertips, around your
anything. You can put it on any substance in life, any object.
Swiss meringue buttercream is one of the classic recipes for buttercream, which involves tempering and heating up some egg whites and some sugar and whipping that, and then you fold in some butter and it forms the most luxurious satiny textured glamour of frosting icing coating.
It's the best.
That holds its shape, packed with flavor.
Yeah.
And soothes the tongue upon swallowing.
So good.
Oh, yeah, drool cast. Okay, you, three things.
Okay, my top three. My number three, I guess I would say, I'm going to say like a Frangaise sauce, which is a lemon butter wine sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really heavy on the butter. But I will add into that just like butter is the way, whenever you go to a restaurant and you have like a really great pasta, and I don't want to say whenever, because of course there are ways to emulsify a pasta sauce without butter and using the natural starches, you know, if you make a cacio e pepe or something. However, I'd say 90% of the time you're at a restaurant, you have a luxurious pasta and you're like, what is with this? How do they get this sauce so creamy? And there's no creamy. And it's like glossy and glazy. It's because butter. And so specifically like a Frances that has that like lemony wine, like rich, umptuous, you're mounting the butter. Now, mounting is not just for dogs having sex, people.
Or humans or rabbits.
It's a way of kind of like, literally mounting. You're building your sauce by emulsifying butter and, you know, a liquid.
And basically how I could demonstrate this, or how we could demonstrate this by talking on the podcast, is when you swirl a pan sauce, you saute your chicken breast, your thigh, whatever it is, you know, like a mushroom, whatever, and you have that leftover schnazzle at the bottom of the,
schnazzle
at the bottom of the thing. You wang jangle it and you pour some like liquid and then you start to swirl the pan, and that naturally agitates the butter to mix with the molecules of water, forming a suspension, which says all that means is delicious
butter. Love.
Yeah.
My number two thing to have.
We're only at number two. Damn.
My number two thing
I
to have
to
with
drink
butter.
Water. I need to drink water to replenish my drool.
is a hollandaise sauce.
Oh my God. How did I not even.
I mean, I'm not someone who eats eggs Benedict very often or like asparagus with hollandaise, but I will tell you, I motherfucking love it. And I need to use a curse word in this particular instance because I motherfucking love it.
Mother.
It is everything good. It's essentially kind of similar to a Frances sauce, thicker.
It's a butter mayonnaise.
It's a buttery mayonnaise. So good.
Egg yolks. And
love
lemon
it.
Lemon and delicious.
And my number one is really simple. And it's, I'm going to say sneak another one in there. A roast chicken with anchovy butter or a steak with anchovy butter. I mean,
here we go.
Beyond.
Yeah.
But my number one favorite thing ever.
Number one favorite thing.
Is good bread and butter.
Good
bread.
I was actually going to finish with
desert island food, last meal food, bread and butter, good bread. It doesn't have to be the most high-end bread. I love that Caputo's Italian bread. I'm going to tell you a secret. My favorite thing is hot bread with cold butter.
Oh my God. Hot bread with cold butter.
Like when you go to a crappy Italian red sauce restaurant and they have that hot Italian bread that comes out with
and you get the butter
cloth napkin on top, and then they have the cold butter and like the little foil packets and you
I
cut
like
it.
You have to turn into a Long Island.
Oh my God.
When
you said, and you got the hot bread and the cool butter and then foil packets. No, it's delicious. That is my jam. That's like heaven on earth.
That is true. Heaven on earth.
And you dunk it in like a little bit of red sauce or like a little vinegar.
We didn't even talk
it.
About buttered popcorn.
Oh, Marona Mia.
But that's an obvious.
Yes, no
well,
shit.
Listen, if we haven't inspired you with the 1,462 buttered items that we've mentioned on this podcast today.
A baked potato
with butter. Chive butter. Listen,
I'm sorry,
I'm
it was so loud.
That was very drool.
I'm really sorry.
Wow, like the drool came into my mouth from the other side of the cord. Listen, please email us at lifesabanquetshow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Check us out on Instagram, on Facebook, and again on iTunes and Stitcher. And please rate, review, subscribe. It helps us to continue this. We love talking about butter. We love producing more episodes.
And visit our Patreon page.
That's right. Our Patreon page, which helps us actually pay the nominal amount that we
pay an editor.
For storage.
Right.
And that's it. And we will give you more buttered recipes and hand write butter. We'll even like dip our fingers in butter and like seal the envelope with butter.
Exactly. Oh, I want to say one more thing I like with butter though.
Yes.
A freaking delicious baguette sandwich with butter
and
ham.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, I remember learning about that when I was in the seventh grade and was taking French class, and we like opened our textbooks, which I actually have like this thing for textbooks. I loved them. Like they were so cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had some like old... If you're listening out there, big textbook, please send over some old seventh grade textbooks,
P.O.
French
box,
textbook.
877-777-7722.
I remember when we got to the page where we were reading about what French people eat, and we like learned how to say it, you know, and it was like talking about like jamon et beurre, a sandwich with beurre et jamon. And my French is perfect. I know my pronunciation is on point. But anyway, I remember being so intoxicated by that and going home and making like a butter and ham sandwich. And
absolutely divine.
I felt like changed by that experience.
I put butter in my burgers.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
a buttered bun on a burger? A buttered bun on a burger. The burglar put butter on his bunned burger.
Bretton Butter's buttered burgers. Well, listen, anything else? please send us a message. We will respond to it. We love to hear from you.
Yes.
And please butter away.
Yeah, butter that bread. Hasta la pasta. Oh, oh my God. Spaghetti with butter and cheese.
Okay.
Jesus. That, yeah. Okay. But spaghetti with butter and cheese is so good. Hasta la pasta. Thank you for listening.
Betty Bitter had some butter.
Bye.